call to order this public hearing regards to a public safety levy. First of all, I'd like to thank everyone for being here this evening. If you could do me a favor, if you have a cell phone, if you could turn it off. Turn it off, silent. We're here to hear public testimonies with regards to a public safety levy. And it's my privilege to introduce, or let the group introduce themselves before we get started.
I'm Marty Silvernagle, Director of Juvenile Department and Community Corrections.
I'm Greg Hanson, I'm the County Administrator.
I'm Jennifer Wheeler, Commissioner.
I'm Polk County Commissioner Mike Ainsworth.
Mayor Felton, your District Attorney.
I'm Bob Wolf, from Polk County Sheriff.
Before we hear public testimony, we'll give you a little update of part of the reason that we've gotten here. And we'll hear from our Administrator, Mr. Hanson, and then after Greg speaks, we'll hear a little word from Sheriff Bob Wolf. Greg, will you?
Thank you. Last November, I made a recommendation to the Board of Commissioners to place a local option tax, otherwise known as an operating levy, on the ballot for May 19th of 2015. That levy would restore public safety services in Polk County. The local option tax would be for an amount of 45 cents per thousand of assessed value and have a duration of 5 years. The board accepted that recommendation and as a result staged a public hearing like today. We have a total of 9 public hearings that were being held throughout the county. This is public hearing number 7. So we have one more, I think, next Tuesday night at Roth's in West Salem, and then we have our last and final public hearing at the courthouse on Wednesday. So this is public hearing number 7, and there has not been a final decision made on this topic. That's why we're holding these public hearings, to gather information from the citizens and to help better inform the commissioners on which direction to go if indeed we want to go out for a ballot measure in May of 19 or at another later date. The reason that we're having to talk about this subject is our public safety services have diminished to the point of probably no return almost in Polk County. In 2008, we had approximately 112 FTE in our public safety system. The public safety system that I refer to is made up of the district attorney, who has a prosecution and a support enforcement office, the sheriff, which has a patrol division, a jail division, emergency management, dog control, marine patrol, and another set of requirements like civil processing, search and rescue, and those things. We have our juvenile department, we have our adult corrections department, and we have a community service department that make up our public safety system. And like I said, we had 112 employees back in 2008, and today we have 78. So we've lost 34 employees, about one-third of our workforce. We are unable to provide services at the level that we've been accustomed to, and it's our hope that we can look at maybe having an operating levy to restore those services. Even with this operating levy, we would not be returning to the levels that we had in 2008. This levy would restore approximately 22 positions out of the 34 that have been eliminated. Those 22 positions, 12 of them would be in the Sheriff's Patrol Division, 5 of them would be in the District Attorney's Office, 5 of them would be in the Jail Division that the Sheriff operates, and then on top of that, there would be an additional 2 juvenile detention beds that would be restored as a result of this levy. Currently, we have 4 juvenile detention beds. We've in the past had 6 juvenile detention beds, and those are not a luxury. Those are a necessity because when we have juveniles that are being charged with felons, most of the time they end up going into our juvenile detention facility until they can be held on trial. And As a result, we tend to over-utilize our four beds that we currently have right now. We're probably averaging 5 to 6 beds as we speak and paying an additional $160 a day for each night stay at the juvenile detention facilities. So the reason that, again, that we're here is because of a shortage of revenue. And that shortage of revenue resides in our general fund. We have a number of other funds that have adequate funding. Our Public Works Fund, for example, has adequate funding. We maintain our road system at a very high level and don't anticipate not being able to do that in the future. But they have their own dedicated funding that can only be used for road maintenance and road preservation. The general fund and the sheriff's office is not someone who can receive gas tax money to fund their cause. We have a mental health or health services division that also has its own dedicated funding. We had a number of FTE increases in that program over the last 5 years. We've had to reduce some, and then we're beginning to restore more and more positions in that realm. But again, they have state and federal funding. There is no property tax revenue that goes into that. But again, that's dedicated funding for those type of programs and services, not for public safety. So that's a little of how we got here. The ONC revenue, obviously, is one of the main funding sources in the general fund. And when that went away, which it has gone away, we do not have any ONC monies that we received this year. There's a potential that we could, but that's more dependent on Washington, D.C. And the efforts there. The reason, that's probably the primary reason that we got to the position that we are with our public safety services. So with that, I'll turn it back over to Commissioner Ainsworth.
Thanks, Greg. Sheriff Wolf.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just wanted to give a brief synopsis of what the Sheriff's Office functions really are. The Sheriff's Office is responsible for 745 square miles of Polk County. Therefore, we're the lead law enforcement agency that covers the entire county. We also have jurisdiction in the cities as well as on tribal land. Our patrol division, which has seen a significant reduction since 2008, as Mr. Hansen said, is funded out of the general fund. The jail division is also part of the Sheriff's Office, and with those two divisions alone, I take up the bulk of the general fund budget, just because I'm the largest of, I have more employees than the district attorney's office does, and kind of on down the line. The other functions that the patrol division is responsible for, or the sheriff is responsible for under Oregon laws, I'm also mandated by law to provide for search and rescue operations within Polk County. City police are not required to do that, and state police are not required to do it. It's the sheriff's office that's required. We're also responsible for the civil division, and that is a division that takes care of all the court orders that come down from the court. We're also responsible as a court order to serve restraining orders and on people, forced eviction of dwellings. If you are a landlord and you have a tenant that refuses to move out, you have to file for an FED, and it's the sheriff's office that serves that notice. Not city police, not state police. It's a requirement by law of the sheriff. Also, any court orders for child custody, it's the sheriff that's responsible for those, and money and seizure of property. A lot of the home foreclosures that we've seen happen since 2008, those, a bulk of those come through the sheriff's office, and we're the ones that do the processing of the paperwork and seize the property and hold it for the banks and so forth. And it's a long story, but one of the things that only the sheriff's office can do that. Nobody else has that authority or responsibility. I also maintain the jail, which has seen significant reductions and cuts, and that jail also serves all of our municipalities. And so the cities use that county jail that the county taxes pay for, and they use the jail for taking some cases to the district attorney's office through the state courts, but the cities also use the jail for municipal court. And so those individuals are held for the city for municipal court, which the county really received nothing for that. We don't charge the cities. I may end up having to look at doing that. That would not be a popular thing, but as I continue to lose funding, I have to continue to look for resources. I can tell you that I'm not going to make a lot of money off of that. However, it is another option that I would have to look at. Your jail that you folks have paid for that opened in 99 is probably one of the most well-respected jails by the criminal element in the state of Oregon, because they do not like coming to your Polk County jail because we keep them. If they get lodged in Marion County, they're limited on how many people they can hold, and so oftentimes they get released, or they have a matrix system where they do forced releases. That does not happen in Polk County. That is a great luxury that citizens of Polk County have, and primarily because the jail is very well run and it is consistently passing with high marks when it goes through its two-year inspections that it has. One of the things that has happened, however, since these reductions is the cost, being that I've cut the jail to the minimum staff, it's costing you as taxpayers a lot of money in overtime. I've budgeted $60,000 in overtime for the entire fiscal year that runs from July to June of this year. As of December 31st, I've already spent $79,000 in overtime. It's because I'm running so short of people that I have to pay a lot of overtime out, which is your tax dollars. As a result of that, now I have to look at my budget and determine where I take that money out of the rest of the budget to try to offset that. Oftentimes people ask, well, why do we need patrol, particularly if I live in the city? I already have police officers here, so why do I need patrol? Well, the sheriff's office, as I said, is responsible for the entire county, and we back up the cities an awful lot. We also work a lot with the cities on cases that they work. As a matter of fact, just a couple of days ago, our officers were assisting Monmouth looking for a sex offender who had assaulted a child, and when Monmouth and our officers found out that this person was in Salem, it's the deputies that drove to Salem and picked the person up for the city of Monmouth whilst Monmouth was still working on yet another case that had come in. So Monmouth didn't have to leave. So the sheriff's office is involved in everything that's going on in the entire county. We are also part of, you know, the major crimes team and our drug team. Let me give you just a quick sample of what's happened since 2008. In 2008, when I was fully staffed, before we started these reductions that have occurred with the loss of timber money, we had a forestry deputy that patrolled the forest. We had two deputies assigned to the drug narcotics team, more than any of the other agencies. We participated in countywide enforcement of DUI and seatbelt grants. We had several officers that were assigned with special response tactical team. We had a computer forensics deputy. We had another deputy that was a traffic crash technical assistant and worked with the Oregon State Police on fatal traffic crashes for reconstruction. We were also part of a dump stoppers program. We were also part of prescription drug take back programs, which are very popular, taking prescription drugs off the street. And we were actively engaged in Neighborhood Watch and National Night Out. Today, none of that exists in the sheriff's office. We have none of that today. It's all gone. So we are cut down to 10 hours a day. And just today, one of my officers jumps on the radio. I'm trying to do a press story on the tragic death that occurred in Dallas, or just outside Dallas, talking to the media, and my deputy's calling for cover because he's got one person that he's holding, another person running. And I responded from downtown Dallas and came out onto Oak Grove Road and assisted in taking that person into custody. I found him and took him into custody. So I'm up helping with court security. We have no court security whatsoever. Except for when a person is transported in custody over, then the corrections officer must be there. The rest of the time, The only court security that gets provided if the jail staff is not available is either myself or my lieutenant or one of the detectives. Some people say, well, let's just get the Oregon State Police over here and have them patrol Will County. If the superintendent of state police was here, he would tell you and has allowed me to speak on his behalf to explain to you OSP is not the answer. They do not have the available resources to put additional troopers into Polk County to take care of Polk County's criminal activity. Nor can his troopers serve a lot of the civil process that we have to serve. This loss of timber revenue is real. I can tell you that since 99, when you elected me the first time as your sheriff, and I'm now in my fifth term as your sheriff, I go to every budget committee meeting, and I can tell you that the budget committee, which consists of the three commissioners and three lay people that are part of the budget committee, if there was additional money in that budget, in the general fund, that could fund additional police officers or deputies and corrections officers, I would be getting it. They do not have that money. It is not there. There is no can hidden in the courthouse that's got millions of dollars in it. This is real. There is no other alternative than for the commissioners to hold these meetings to determine whether or not they should go out and seek a public safety levy to provide services for the DA's office, community corrections, juvenile, and the sheriff's office. So, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Sheriff. Just a reminder, there is a sign-up sheet in the back, and Heather's going to go back there. If you would like to speak, we ask you to please sign that, and then I'll call your name. Actually, if you'd like to sign it, just raise your hand, and Heather will come to you.
Okay.
We'll just wait. Yeah. We'll be very informed. Thank you, Heather. What we ask is when I call your name, if you come up and sit in the front row and give us your name and your address, I'll give you 3 to 5 minutes. We're kind of flexible here. Wolford.
Evening.
Thank you for coming.
Yes. Lowell Ford. I live at 2450 Wallace Road and have two businesses, a farm on Wallace Road, and then at 3275 we have a vineyard and wine. I'm here to speak in favor of the operating levy and strongly believe not only do we need additional coverage for personal safety, I believe that a stronger public safety office and restoring it back the way I believe it should be will be a significant, have a significant positive aspect or impact on rural businesses. Our business depends on the public coming to it and purchasing our products. And so I really believe that that is something that we strongly need, and I would support that. I live on the edge of Salem, in fact, surrounded three sides on Salem on Wallace Road, and the response time that I would get, the reality is we're a long ways from Dallas. And we also are so close to Salem, sometimes there's an overlap, and even a call in an emergency, I've had the experience where they don't even know if I'm in Salem or not in Salem. And that has been a problem for us. So I'm hoping that we have more people in which to respond. I have one thing. In this last election, I worked very strongly for the challenger, not the incumbent, because I've been very disappointed in the last election. I felt that the county commissioners, our elected county commissioners, probably acted in benign neglect. I'm hoping, as I sit and look at the three of you, that this would become very high priority for you and to get out into to groups and support this election and support this levy. Then I just have an observation to add. Statesman Journal on the 16th gave us some facts about the timber funds being cut from $300 million to $50 million for the western United States. Oregon went from $67.9 million to $5.9 million along Sinai. A little further back in the newspaper, Fender's Blue Butterfly got a funding of $22 million. And I don't know, I'm scratching my head. I'm just making an observation. I'm trying to figure out. And, you know, I'm a greeny kind of guy, but I'm trying to weigh butterflies versus public schools and public safety.
Thank
Thanks
you
for
much.
The opportunity.
Thank you for coming.
Lisa Mitchell.
I have a written statement.
Sure.
I'm quite nervous speaking in front of people, so I thought if I wrote it down and followed my agenda, I wouldn't
address.
Get off.
Lisa Mitchell, what's your address?
Oh, I live on Bethel Road in Tammany.
Okay.
Good evening. I will give you a little background on myself. My name is Lisa, and I'm a longtime resident of Polk County, having moved from West Salem 8 years ago to a rural Polk County area between Amity and Dallas. I believe I'm in a unique position to speak on this public safety crisis, as I can address it from two different perspectives. You see, I am a recent victim of domestic violence, and I'm also a first responder in Polk County. This past July, there was an incident at my residence. If any piece of the series of events that transpired that night were altered, I may not be here tonight. I would like to put yourself and all the voters, I would like them to put themselves in my position for just a few minutes. At possibly the worst time in someone's life, you dial 911 to hear, there's no one we can send. How absolutely terrifying that can be. Now imagine that you're alone. Or worse yet, you have your children or a loved one with you. There's no one we can send. Try and imagine that for a moment. Hearing your child say to a 911 dispatcher, we just want someone to help us. I believe that the incident at my residence, had there been a deputy to answer those first calls to 911, the situation would not have escalated and resulted in a devastating structure fire that destroyed my home. So I was victimized twice that night by two tragic events. The loss and emotional cost to my family is immeasurable. I fervently pray and hope this never happens to anyone else in our county, but unfortunately with the situation as it stands now, it will. And it had a tragic loss of life just recently. Secondly, as a first responder, I am an active firefighter EMS, a six-year active member of a local fire department. We respond to fire, medical, and motor vehicle accidents 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I can speak firsthand of the critical importance of a quick, timely response to any emergent situation for the likelihood of a more positive outcome for a patient or a citizen. The clock never moves slower than when we are put in a holding pattern, waiting for law enforcement to provide a secure scene. All public safety personnel are trained for quick response. Having to sit and wait is agonizing. As responders, when we get a call, we only receive a fragment of information from the call center personnel. Often their information is only from a patient who's been in an accident or has a fire, or a passerby who just happens to go by and see something. Once upon arrival to an emergency situation, situations can and do very quickly change for fire department personnel to be on any scene, medical, fire, MVA, without law enforcement can mean the difference between life and death. We work as teams in a variety of ways to expedite a safe outcome, not only for the patient, but for the responder's safety as well. Rural areas, which make up the majority of Polk County, do not have the luxury of a local public safety police department 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that the urban areas have. So it can be easy to lose sight of the importance of this to Polk County as a whole. Last year, Sheriff Wolf hit the streets making the rounds of public meetings. He attended our school board meeting, trying to answer questions and get the word out on the last levy. Apparently, not all the folks got the message. I want to believe if folks in Polk County had and fully understood the repercussions and the gravity of what we are witnessing in the county now, they would have passed it then. What are we waiting for to get this ballot out this year? What more information needs to be learned? It's a critical situation, folks. The Sheriff's Department, first responders, and community need a quick resolution to this crisis now. It is a life or death situation. Consider the consequences of not acting quickly. Remember the quote, "There's no one we can send." And imagine your loved one on the other end of the phone. The county commissioners are going to meet again next week to hear final testimony and make their decision. I'm asking you to show them your support and urge a quick resolution for the health and safety of us all. I would finally just like to publicly thank Polk County Deputy Tyrone Jenkins for getting out of bed in the middle of the night to come to my aid. And I also would like to thank the Yamhill County Sheriff's Officers who drove to Polk County to handle the situation at my residence in our county. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Lisa. I appreciate it. Well, there's no one else on here, so if you'd like to speak, we'll raise hands, and we'll just go from there, okay? You have your hand up first. Just come up here, and please state your name and your address. And okay. Heather can take it down.
My name's Glenn Stonebrink, and I live on Rick Rial Road. And my wife and I have three residences in the county, and then we bought Farrell's restaurant not long ago, so thinking about raising property tax is not real fond thought on my agenda. However, have I ever been to a budget meeting to look at the county budget to see what you spend your money on?
Yep.
I used to, and I lived in Wallowa County, and I was probably the only one that ever would show up. But, so if I can't, If I have no objections on how you spend your money, then I better be in favor of this and pay for the police protection. Recently, because we own the Rockin' Rogers at EOLAN, and I've talked to your sheriff about it, and your deputies have been there, and they've been very good, but they oftentimes have had some break-ins. I've had a couple break-ins in the last month, and no one can show up till noon the next day. And I'm not faulting them, but what do I do? I have security cameras, so I can look at the cameras and I can go in there with my pistol drawn, and it's a little bit spooky when you think of some of the druggies that are trying to break in. We've had two of our customers' vehicles broke in broad daylight. One, they jimmied or just ripped the lock out and got the lady's purse. The other one was one of our staff, and they busted the window out, grabbed the stuff, and was gone. I think they know that we don't really have adequate police protection in the county. Not possible to be a quick response. I don't, you know, I'm too old to fight with them, so I'm sorry, I just shoot them, but I don't like that feeling, but that's what it comes to. You know. And in this room here not too long ago, met with ODOT, because they're talking about Doak's Ferry, the changing this and all that goofy plan, but something I learned that this Highway 22 used to be called a safety corridor, and you get money from the state for to patrol it. Mm-hmm. Now they call it expressway. You don't get it. And the project guy from ODOT said, I asked him, I said, well, why are you doing all this? He said, because of the accidents. And I said, what causes accidents? He said, volume and speed. Can you control the volume? No. Can you control the speed? Well, we can't. It says 55, but you can't make people go 55. All of you know it's 65 or 70, if you don't, unless you want to get run over. And I don't know, I think there's some political answers that we need to go after, as well as the funding to get the patrolling. I know that I've had customers tell me they would come over here, but that just it's too dangerous. And I know that as you get on in closer to town, it's 50 miles an hour, but here it's 70 miles an hour, and they patrol that. Of course, I guess that's city of Salem does it. So patrolling will work, but you have to have a patrolman to do it. So, you know, I'm all in favor of this, even though it's going to cost me a fair amount of money. I'm not a rich person. I have property. I'm property rich and cash poor, but in the restaurant business, you understand that. But I don't know. I hope that we can get more people to get involved and understand it. One of the main constitutional duties of government is to protect safety, whether it's the U.S. Constitution or the Oregon Constitution. I'm looking up a few things there before I come up. But if we can't pay for the safety, what all the other services gonna do us? They are. So I do want to get involved with the budget process and look at some things. But in the meantime, I hope we can get this on the ballot. And I guess it's May 1st, is that right?
May 1st.
The 19th.
Could I ask a question?
And
I'm sure you have, but what other taxing or funding possibilities are there besides raising the property tax? There are none?
There's none there.
Virtually none.
We have, a permanent tax rate of $1.71 a thousand in the county, and basically that's it. Now, I'd encourage you to come to our office.
Yeah.
We'll show you the budget. I mean, if there was money there somewhere, I guarantee you.
Well, and I know someone even mentioned about things being mandated. There was, years ago, it was ballot measure 11 or 12 or something said if the state mandates, the state has to pay. Like if they mandate a county to do something, the state has to pay. I assume that's all being done. Everything that they mandate, they're paying for.
School districts.
They mandate everything, and they might give you
it's good in theory,
20% of what you really need. Yeah. It sounds good.
That's what the answer I expected.
Yeah, yeah.
But and I would hope that Senator Boquist and someone could address that issue. It's nuts that you are subservient to the state. I understand that you're just a subdivision of state government. But I don't know. I'd like to see something besides just property tax that we could. I know at one time there was an attempt to put a gas tax on, and the reason I say that, because I watched the traffic, 99 and 22, it's just huge. And it's almost like a user's tax to me. If you use the highway, you should pay for the safety of the highway. And that can only be done either through license or tax, or gas tax. And I think that something would probably have to be changed, possibly constitutionally, at least a law would have to be changed to be able to do that. But I'd like to see that effort made.
Because that gas tax all goes to the Public Works Department to take care of the road.
Constitutionally, it has to be that way. They were going to fund the state police patrolling out of it, or tried to, a couple of concessions back.
And failed.
Yeah.
And they'll make a run at gas tax this year, too. Yeah. But it'll go for roads.
So, I don't know how much, and I appreciate the call from the sheriff to come up, because I've been working with his deputies and opportunity to come up and just express my views, but I want to be a little more involved in that, and if we can get help in any way, we can help get the word out what we need it for. I don't care whether they're flyers in the restaurants or whatever you want to do. I guess the commission have not decided for sure to put this on the ballot.
That's why we're having public hearings. Okay, we have two more, and then we will decide. Okay. We just wanted to get the public input, because we work for you. Okay. It's a novel idea.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Glenn. I appreciate you coming up. Okay, next one. Go ahead. Come on up here. State your name and your address. Yeah?
I just want to say happy birthday to him.
Today would have been my dad's 83rd birthday.
He's been to a lot of these meetings, so yeah, well, happy birthday, Gene.
Where's your case?
Well,
name and address.
Gene Hinshaw, I recited 2424 Southwest Oakwood Drive, Dallas. And I apologize for not having a written statement like this lady did. She was so good, so eloquent. And our friend over here, Glenn, a former lobbyist, did such a great job. I know I'm not going to do that well. I just want to let you know that I've testified at a number of these meetings. And I have testified that the sheriff runs a professional and efficient department. I work for him, I know. And in the county, compared to other counties that are comparable, is much lower in all of the assessments. So it's an efficient organization. I can't say that about, because I'm an anti-tax guy, I can't say that about his state. I could take a butcher knife to the state's budget. I could take a chainsaw and a lawnmower to the federal budget. But the county is efficient. Money is not wasted. And I'm not going to beat that to death. I've testified about that before. My testimony today is to you. And that is, if you want to put this on the ballot in May, you got to get the ground running. We need to have a campaign. We need to have campaign money. We need a PAC. We can't just throw it on the ballot and think it's going to pass, because it won't. There's the anti-tax contingent, which is not all that big of a deal, but there is the apathetic contingent, which is huge. I have gone to these meetings, and if you took them all together, if you don't count the ones that go to every one, but to go to the multiple meetings, there's maybe 150 out of the entire county have come to these meetings. That's happening. We need to reach those people.
Thank you, Gene. Next. Anna.
Good evening. I'm Anna Peterson. I reside at 471 High Street, Southeast in downtown Salem, 97301. I'm the mayor of Salem. Thank you, Sheriff, for being here. Chair Board Chair Ainsworth and Commissioner Wheeler, thank you for coming out to the community. I apologize, I won't be able, I don't think, to be at the next one at Ross, but I wanted to get here tonight to tell you absolutely support this. Absolutely we need this, absolutely. We in the City of Salem are so appreciative of how well we can work together with Polk County and how well our police department and the Sheriff's Department have always worked really well together. And we recognize that even though we have city police in the city area of West Salem, we vitally need a good, strong public safety program in Polk County. We need the deputies, we need the prosecutors, we need the jail, we need the community supervision. And thank you for this chart that actually shows, you know, total offenders 146 under supervision in West Salem. That's in the city of Salem, and thank goodness you have deputies and corrections people who supervise them, and we know we need more. And so I'm here to support this and to say I pledge my support to this and to the sheriff's work. And I hope that this will be successful. I haven't had a chance to, now I have all this documentation, I'm going to take it to council. So I can't say tonight I'm speaking for the city of Salem or the city council, because I've not been able to take this to council and ask for a recommendation and a support, you know, from the United Council. But I don't think that would be difficult to get. So that would be my next step. So I'm just here to say I believe in this. I crucially know it's important, it's necessary, and I want the sheriff's office and the district attorney's office and the jail to continue to function as they've always functioned really well and be brought back up to the levels that they need.
Thank you very much.
So appreciate the chance to come and talk about it.
Thanks for coming.
So I'll continue to be in touch. Probably see you at breakfast on
next Friday.
Next Friday.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else?
I guess I'll
come on down.
I'll do it again. Rod Buchanan, Dallas, 1335 Ruben Boise Road. I just want, I've said this at other meetings, we're talking about 45 cents per thousand. I think it comes on a $200,000 home, approximately 25 cents a day. I've said it before, I had to break into a car. It cost me $250 just in my deductible to replace a window. 25 cents a day is cheap. So I really encourage, you were so elegant in what you said and how you said it. You did a very nice presentation. And those are the types of things that happen within our county that a lot of people never hear about. And they happen every day. And at 25 cents a day, we need to pass this thing. They need, the commissioners need to decide when they're going to put that on the ballot. But when they do, please talk to everybody you know. It was brought up last night's meeting that it's really up to the county commissioners to push this thing, but it's really our job to push this thing. And it can't pass if we don't work at it. And if we don't work at it, and you need a police officer and you don't get it, it's your fault. It's everybody's fault. So please let everybody know that this needs to pass for our own safety and the safety of our children, our parents, everybody. So please help everybody else understand that.
Thank you, Carl. Anyone else? I knew it would start to warm up a little bit. Everyone's always afraid to put their name down. But hard act to follow after Lisa's.
I agree completely.
And really, that's the reason we're here.
Commissioner, just for the record, E.M. Easterly, 775 Fir Gardens Northwest. I'm going to read a prepared statement, and it is reinforced by the articulate information that Lisa brought to us. Make this as simple as possible. Thank you, commissioners, for holding this series of public meetings and for the detailed information you have offered to the citizens who attended. I hope as we finish through this process that if you as a board choose to go with this, that we will get this information out seriously. 2 months ago, you stated, quote, "Due to the severity of our public safety problem, we find it imperative to place a ballot measure before our citizens, unquote. I urge you to designate May this year, 2015, the date of the ballot. That date allows you, the commissioners, to fund a portion of the law enforcement and public safety services lost over the last 5 years. I stand corrected. Sheriff Wolf went back 7 years. And hopefully, if we pass a measure in about a levy in May, you will have the funds to start the rebuilding process in the next fiscal year. To wait longer means that those fiscal resources will not be available until budget year 2016 or 17 at the earliest. No guarantees. Please utilize your goodwill and your political capital to help county voters understand that the public safety erosion has transpired. For those of us, and I'm one of those who have been to each of these meetings, it is real clear and evident. People have talked about coming to the cliff's edge and having a fence around the cliff. And will continue to erode, that's my language, so long as voters fail to support public safety with tax increases. Too few voters have heard your message. I believe it was Gene here, Mr. Henshaw, who made the statement that a lot of folks didn't come out in November 13th. 62% of the folks who are registered voters that time didn't even bother to cast an opinion. We need to talk into those people. We need to get them out to help them understand. Too few voters are willing to support services they do not use. Though I wish to never need to call upon the DA or the sheriff, I would never want my daughter or friend to call for the services and be told no one was available. We just heard one of those stories again tonight. And as you've heard, those have been here, we've heard others over the other presentations. It's happening. We heard it this last summer in Polk County. It's happening today. You heard those personal stories during these public testimony hearings. Please respond in the affirmative. Please ask me to join the efforts to energize public safety services in Polk County. We heard a request from a couple of the people who testified. I'm ready and willing to be helpful. Indeed, one of the things that I did was put public notices in the local paper to announce this meeting, as well as the one that is next Tuesday. Sadly, or maybe joyfully, I will not be here for the next two meetings, but I encourage and urge you again to bite hard, look at this. And maybe I'll leave with this idea. If you don't try in May, it ain't gonna happen. And if you try in May and it fails, I'm sorry, I'd be deeply disappointed, but as Commissioner Pope said some time back at one of the meetings, we're not going to reduce the amount. We may, and indeed you may be in a position where you'll say we have to come out with more. All I'm saying is, Chairman Ainsworth, Commissioner Wheeler, this needs to happen. And there are a lot of people who've followed the process where we're not the 62% who didn't vote, nor are most of us that have shown up, and I've watched the straw presentation, people who are against it. For any of you who bothered to look at Wednesday's I.O., I gave the list of things that folks use as a reason not to support this. It's not, none of those are really a good reason in terms of our entire community. And as you, Commissioner Ainsworth, suggested last night at the Monmouth hearing, there are certain things that we as a community, the size of a county, need to take care of. and you talked about it in terms of public education. I don't have kids. I don't even have grandkids, but I feel very good having to spend, I've grown and known about it, but I spend money on taxes knowing that education is very important. And to the two commissioners, public safety is at that list. And if you go back and look at anybody who even complains about it, guess what they start out with? The comment that this gentleman made here this evening. I may not like taxes, but one of the constitutional responsibilities of government is public safety.
Thank you, Neil. Okay, anyone else? Come on down, huh?
Russ Noel, 1920 Oak Grove Road. I mentioned last night about being on your campaign list. I know I'm probably on one of your lists. I want to thank the young lady for her eloquence, well thought out. I think it should be published.
Yes.
Thanks to the sheriff for the actions today on Oak Grove Road. One of the things that hasn't been mentioned, and a young man from the fire department was very eloquent a couple meetings ago. The fire department, the EMTs, first responders, between the hours of 10 in the evening and 12 noon, have no backup. They are often going into very dangerous situations. It's been mentioned about a $200,000 a year house costing $90, roughly 25 cents a day. It's been compared to being a lot cheaper than a cup of coffee. A cigarette is 22 cents. And on the campaign list, I would suggest that everybody call your friends, get them to the next two meetings at Ross and at Dallas. Probably too late for letters to the editors, but please attend the meetings. Let people know what's going on. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Noel. Anyone else? Marty, would you like to say anything? Huh? Greg?
I'm good.
Jennifer?
I'm usually the quiet one. when I came here tonight, I thought, I've heard two stories now. I've heard a lot of really good testimony. I'm not trying to discount any of it. Everything that was said tonight is great. But up until tonight, there were two stories I heard that really bothered me. One was the sheriff last night talking about the sex offender in Monmouth. I hadn't heard that story before he told it last night. I'm not very fond of sex offenders myself. And then there was a young lady at Grand Ronde, Anna Falla was her name, and she is in charge of domestic violence in the Grand Ronde area, and she had a very similar story to Lisa's, and then Lisa. We have to do this, guys. It would be irresponsible in my mind at this point to not do this. I know what it feels like to be that lady that's making that phone call, because I've been there. But I was lucky because I had somebody that answered the phone. We can't let this happen. We can't let this continue to happen. We cannot let sex offenders run around our neighborhoods, around our children. The good thing about the sex offender that the sheriff talked about is we've got him now. Marty knows where he is, and Marty's going to make sure that he's doing what he's supposed to do and hopefully going where he needs to go. But we know where he is, and you don't, and they're in our neighborhoods. We need to be able to keep our eyes on these people and keep them from doing what's happening to people like Lisa and people like the child that was hurt by this sex offender in Monmouth. We can't ignore it. And we've talked about it for too long. And I know we're not making decisions tonight, but I think you can see what I think here. And it's just, I'm very sorry for what has happened to you.
Sorry for all the victims, all the answered calls. There's hundreds of people.
Yeah, I'm also on the board of directors for Sable House. And I can tell you that the women who work at Sable House have very high respect for these men sitting here. Marty, I mean, I hear their names personally. Bernie Krager, who retired a couple of years ago, they couldn't say enough good things about him. We have excellent people on our sheriff's patrol, and not just patrol, the whole department. We have excellent people in Marty's division watching these people who are in our neighborhoods. They live in the cities. We have a district attorney's office that's just waiting to prosecute. We need to keep our women and our children and our elderly safe. Mike talks about his mom driving and he worries. If my mom was driving, y'all gotta worry. You don't want her driving, but my mom's safe. She's in Dallas Retirement Village, and I can go to bed at night knowing that she's safe, because I can't tell you enough good things about Dallas Retirement Village. But we've got to do that for our citizens, and I don't care how much it costs. I'm a one-income family, too. I mean, 25 cents a day, I think I'm going to be able to handle that. I think I can give up a cup of coffee. I think that's enough.
Thank you, Jennifer. Bob, you have anything for us?
Just one other comment I would make, particularly from the testimony we've heard here this evening. For those of you that don't know, my daughter is a 911 dispatcher for the Lima Valley Communication Center. She also is the recipient of the verbal abuse that she gets from people that call in with an emergency and get told there is nobody on duty and available to respond. She is one of many dispatchers and call takers that take verbal abuse every damn day. Every day she's taken that verbal abuse. So,
Sheriff Wolf, I would just like to piggyback on that. She takes verbal abuse, but also dispatchers, my heart aches for those people on that end of the line that have to tell people, I don't have any help for you. Their job is to get that help organized and get those sheriffs and firefighters dispatched to you. And for them to have to sit there also with their hands tied and listen to people pleading. My household was pleading. And I'm just one. I'm just one household out of thousands that have made that call. So my heart aches for his daughter, too, and all those dispatchers who can't do that. They can't help him.
Since March 29th of 2014, there have been over 1,500 calls that have gone to the dispatch center asking for assistance that have been told there is nobody available. Your safety is at risk. This is real, ladies and gentlemen. This is not some game that's being played. These commissioners are not hiding any money. You do not get a service that you don't pay for.
Aaron, would you like to say
anything? Well, I can barely say anything more eloquent than what's been said by folks who are here tonight, and sort of what the sheriff has said, what Commissioner Wheeler has said. Every member of our public safety team holds offenders accountable in different ways. Folks in the DA's office, we have a unique role in that when Sheriff Wolf and his deputies bring people to the jail, when the police bring people to the jail, sort of, and Marty does this too, I mean, Director Silver, and his people do this too, we have to keep them in jail, so they're accountable. And it's not really wrong, and I have no disrespect to folks who practice on the defense side. As soon as they get in that jail, an effort starts to get them out of that jail. Our job is to keep them in that jail, and if it's appropriate, to put them in prison. And it's a hard job that takes every hour, every day to make that happen. When I left tonight, one of my prosecutors was still in the office prepping for a trial she has tomorrow. We do that every single day. And right now, we have the smallest prosecution in the staff in the state for an office of this size. And frankly, we're having a hard time keeping up. The prosecution office, the DA's office, we don't just do prosecution, we do support enforcement cases. We do the child abuse assessment fund. We do that as well. We do the CAMI fund. We work the CASA program as well. So we're a multi-faceted organization as well. So it isn't just prosecution. We do a lot of different things. And frankly, we need more help to get the job done. So these sort of hypotheticals you put out there is, man, what if it was you? Could you imagine this? We see it every single day. We have the triage to make decisions about what we can do, what we can't do. I don't want to be in this, the point of I simply can't do it anymore in order to do something different. I really appreciate y'all being out here tonight. I really, really do. So thank you very much.
Well, I'd just like to say a couple of things. And for me personally, this is a sobering fact that Lisa shared with us today. And much like Jennifer had talked about her own experience and the young lady out at the tribe of Grand Rapids, the most vulnerable folks that we have, and to not have public safety available, for me personally, is very disappointing, because it's about a quality of life, I think, more than anything, and feeling safe. Jennifer had said, I spoke about my mom yesterday, who's 80 years old, and she lives in Monmouth, but when she goes out of the city limits, that's where she's the most vulnerable. If she had a wreck, or she had a flat tire or something, you know, I live out 15 miles out of town, and for me to get there, or for the sheriff's department to get there after 10 o'clock, or if she was traveling over to the casino, you know, early in the morning, something could happen. I know, it's reality, you know, that there's no one available. And Mr. Easterly talked about what I had said last night about the school system. We all take care of kids when we're going to school, whether they're ours or someone else's. And that's the way public safety, I feel, should be, is that everyone should pay to keep everyone safe. It doesn't matter if you're in town. And, you know, we're not just talking about patrol deputies this evening when we talk about this public safety level. We're talking about folks that when city officers arrest someone and put them in jail, in the Polk County Jail, that we have enough people to prosecute. Because what's the use of having a lot of cops if we can't prosecute them? If we're not going to prosecute them, we're going to just go ahead and release them, and they're right back out in public. Probably before, like in Marion County sometimes, before the officer even gets his report. Does that give you a lot of security? It doesn't give me a lot of security. Think that those people could be right back on. You know, and I know the 25 cents, you know. I love the idea of 22 cents for a cigarette, okay? I mean, 25 cents a day. That's one cigarette, you know. I don't smoke, but, you know. But the idea, that's a great example of what this relief would cost someone. And I'd also like to share something that hasn't been spoken to tonight, that if we do happen to get some timber revenue, say it's $700,000, I will guarantee you, you can mark this down and write it down, that if we happen to get that much money, if we do, that we would take that off of the levy. So we're not going to be double dipping and saying, oh, we're going to keep this for some other time. You know, if we happen to get $2 million out of the levy, and we get $800,000 somehow from the government for this ONC land, we would take that right off the top. So we would really only levy $1.2 million. And you have my word on that. That's all I have in this world is our word. And you can take that to the bank, because I will guarantee you that's what will happen. Because we're very open at the county. We're extremely accessible. We're not like your state representative or your senators that, you know, there's a list that you have to go through to even talk to them, right? But you can come into our office anytime. And Mr. Easterly was talking about the information, and Mayor Peterson was talking about the information. If there's any other type of information that you would like, please contact us at the county. We will get any type of information that you need. You know, there's a lot of information there, and when we tried to make it extremely simple just to show where we're at. You know, the reason our tax rate is $1.71 is because when the government took all the tax off the rolls with that ONC land in Polk County, they had said, well, we'll just pay you from what we think the value of that is and what you would cut and harvest off of. And that at peak was, what, 2.3 or 2.5 million?
2.3.
Okay. But that money's gone away, and that's the reason why we had such a low tax rate at 171. Now, hindsight would say, you know, boy, it'd been nice to have another 45 or 50 cents, and you know, we'd probably be fairly flush to where we wouldn't have to come out for a levy. But I just want to share those things. If you have any questions after this evening, please feel free to call us at the county. We're always available. You can even call us on the weekend. Okay, my phone number's in the book. Okay, it's not like I get a number of calls. I get calls all the time, or you can see me in the grocery store. Once again, I appreciate everyone who's here this evening. And it is disappointing the fact that there's, you know, 25 people here. There's 77,000 people in Polk County. And as Mr. Henshaw said, we probably had 150 people. And the people that are going to complain the most are the ones that never show up. But I will say that if we do move forward, we'll need all of your help. And it doesn't bother me to hear folks that are opposed to it. That's their opinion. This is America, okay? Everyone has an opinion, and we should listen to everyone's opinion. And then we have to weigh the facts and what's best for our county, because that's what we're elected for. Like I said once before, we work for each and every one of you, and I really mean that from the bottom of my heart. I'm your public servant, as Jennifer is and as Commissioner Polk is, and we are to listen to what our citizens have to say. So once again, thank you for being here. I really do. I appreciate it. If there's anything that we can do, please feel free to contact us at the county. Thank you very much, Ms. Public.
One quick question. Do you know when you're going to make a decision?
Well, the last hearing will be on Wednesday, and I can't speak for...
That'll be a decision of the board. My guess is they will probably close the public hearings next Wednesday and then set a date to determine a decision.
I would think it would be within the next week. I'm not speaking for Jennifer or Craig, but...
The reason I ask is because May comes very quickly.
Yes, you're correct.
I agree that whether it's a big formal campaign or whatever, it's still a campaign. And it will be on us, and we'll kind of wonder what happened. So
yeah,
that's why I was wondering.
No, you're right.
So the earliest they could make it is the following week. The latest they could make it is the end of February, if they wanted it on the May ballot.
So anyway, yeah.
Mike. One suggestion.
Sure.
At the next meeting, or at even this meeting, if you had a sign-up sheet for volunteers to help campaign for this thing, I think it'd be really good to get names and addresses, just in case we need to get a hold of them and have them help. I think at some point in time, it would be good to have a good list of names of supporters.
That's a great idea, Rod. What we'll do tonight is Heather's got a piece of paper. If you just come over to talk to Heather, we'll get your name and address, and that way we can keep in contact. Okay?
Maybe we could even put it in the paper, a phone number, if they call if they want to.
No. Sure. Something else. After we decide.
Yeah.
Anyway, if nothing else, this public hearing is adjourned. Thank you once again for being here. Mayor, thanks for coming out.